Good morning. This is Right Here, Right Now, brought to you by Right Choice Services. I'm Vanessa Lowry and your host for today's show. On Right Here, Right Now, we interview business leaders, entrepreneurs, and professionals about their work and the book they've written, are in the process of writing, or intend to write someday. Our regular host, Tim Morrison, and co-host Stone Payton are both out today. Tim is recuperating from a cold and he's listening in from home. And Stone is getting his daughter set up at college today, so that's a big day for him. Today we have Alan Dubinsky that's running our board for us, and he's going to be chatting with us as well and making us all sound good and keeping us on track. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning. I'm here.
Good to have you here this morning. We're going to have a fun show today.
All right. Thank you.
So today we're interviewing three authors. We have Joan Boneberg, we have Myra McElhaney, and Walter Lawrence, who goes by T.W. Lawrence when he writes, who've all tapped into their network of contacts and used the power of connections for writing, publishing, and promoting their books. We'll talk to each of them individually, and then we're going to open the mics for a little roundtable at the end. I can't wait to hear how 6 degrees of separation and all the stories have that you all have to share and how this has helped you in the process of writing and publishing and promoting your books. This morning, we're going to start with Joan. Joan Boneberg is a business communications coach, board-certified speech pathologist, a speaker, author, and president of Speech Improvement Resources, a business communication firm located in Alpharetta, Georgia. She's also the author of Communication Chemistry, 25 Essential Elements to Make You a Compelling Communicator. Welcome, Joan.
Thanks for the visit.
Yeah. Well, and since this episode is all about connection, I'm going to just give a little blurb about how I'm connected to each of our guests today. So that you can kind of know how those connections happened. Joan and I actually met earlier this year when we both did a seminar in conjunction with the publishing series that BookLogic Publishing Services puts on. And right now we're currently working on a collaborative book together. So it's great to get to talk to you today and find out more about your book and the connections that you've made through that. So what was your motivation behind writing Communication Chemistry?
Well, it actually started in 1984, the day I stepped out of graduate school. I had two bucket lists professionally. One was to open my communication firm someday and to author my communication book someday. So the stars aligned for me, believe it or not, 25 years later, and it felt right for me to write it. So that's how I began, and it was a communication philosophy I've had for a good number of years. The purpose of me writing the book was to get that philosophy down on paper. Not everyone would have a chance to see me present, so I wanted another vehicle for them to be able to have the book in hand and also to understand there is another side of communication other than, as we call, tips. So my book is about the foundational elements of communication, and that's where my speech pathology background comes into play. Foundational elements such as strong preparation, using energy, effort, editing, strong delivery, using your passion, using your knowledge to be generous to your audience and give them takeaways. The other stage is the interaction stage, making sure that they know maintaining their topic in a skillful way and maneuvering themselves and navigating with their communication partner, whether it be one-to-one or 1,000 people you're speaking to. So these are elements that are primary. These need to come before the tips. If you don't have these elements, the tips really won't be effective.
Well, and I would think when people are working with you either one-on-one, and I know you also work with groups, that sometimes you get information overload when you're, you know, trying to learn a lot of things at once. So I would think your book is helpful for people to be able to take away with them and refresh some of the things that they've learned when they've been in front of you, either in a group setting or a one-on-one setting.
Strong point. Absolutely. This is a study and reference guide. This is a book that is purposely written in a minimalist way. It's a format that business executive and that's the population that I serve, business executives, can throw in their briefcase if they have a delay at O'Hare and they're going to San Francisco to present. They can pull this out and refresh themselves from the preparation that they've already done. It's a really functional book. I've received really good feedback on it because it's not heavy text.
And it's beautifully designed. I didn't design the book, but it is beautifully designed, and it's easy to follow. So I think that's important, too, that not only is the information good, but it's easy for somebody to find the information that they're looking for.
I agree, and I wanted it to be a very easy read, and people would, quote-unquote, immediately get it.
Yeah. Well, and I know you've got lots of great stories. We've actually talked about some of the stories around your book and some of the connections that you've made because of the book and have helped you promote the book. Can you share a story of someone or something that's helped you along the way, either with writing or publishing or promoting?
Sure. A very good friend of mine, we networked together. That's how I met her in an executive networking group. We've become very good friends, and she has been my unofficial assistant and manager for the book. So anytime we're at a networking together, the book really doesn't come up, but she brings it up. And that starts the conversation. You know, it's all about, you know, making sure that when I network with someone, it's about them, and then they come back to me naturally. And, you know, you fit it in, but you fit it in gracefully. But she's right there. She's done events for me.
Oh, that's
wonderful. And it's been great. And her network is very large. She's a former top executive at Nortel, and she knows how to do it right. And I've been very blessed to have her friendship, but also to have her be my cheerleader. As many of the people around this table, Walter sat with Myra. Just actually having people that have been through the process, being generous to me.
Yeah.
And all of those connections are just great because friendships grow out of those. And to me, that's highly important.
Well, and I know that you are involved in a number of different organizations and have and make connections in a lot of different areas. How do you determine what's a good group for you? What's a good association for you to be a part of?
It is. I have been much more strategic now that I've been in my firm for a few years. I need to place myself in executive groups, people who have been at the top or people who are starting their career. To see how important communication and this tool can be for them. I belong to the Kettering Business Network, as well as the Buckhead Club. Lots of interesting and top-level people who get it, if you will. And these are the types of venues that I need to be visible in. And people are very accepting and wanting to know more. How can I be more successful?
So it sounds like it's really important for you to know who your target market is so you know where you need to be as far as connecting and networking and promoting.
Absolutely. It needs to happen in various ways. But the point that I've learned along the way is be strategic, whether you have a book or not, be strategic of where you need to be so that those folks that perhaps don't know they need you, but they really need you.
Right.
Are there.
That they might not even know that there's somebody out there that does what you
exactly.
do.
Exactly. Yeah. There aren't many of me out there.
Yeah.
So I've niched a niche.
That's awesome. Yeah. And I know that you mentioned that the book actually helps you stand out when you're networking. What other ways do you feel like being a published author has helped you promote your business?
It has given me the ability to have more visibility. I was extremely fortunate. I received my acceptance letter a week before Christmas by Barnes & Noble. So it's on the shelf.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much. That was a big coup for me, actually. It's on the shelf. It's on Kindle, Nook. Now it's on online Barnes & Noble. It's on very interesting websites for bookstores. And it's even gone internationally, so that's fun. But, you know, the point of me writing it was really to get the message out. As you know, when you're a newly published author, you don't make a penny, but that wasn't the point of it.
Right.
The point was to have me receive more opportunity. That was it. It was just a marketing piece. So when I do my training, I offer the audience a way to take away my program with them.
That's awesome. Well, Joan, we're wrapping up with your segment of time. We're going to bring you back in the middle.
Sure.
But can you tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you and how they can buy your book? How do they find you?
Sure. You can call me directly at 678-522-5955. You can also go to Barnes & Noble website. You can go to Amazon, as well as my website, which is speakingspecialist.com.
And if they go to Amazon or Barnes & Noble, can you spell your name for them so that they can be sure to find you?
Yes, thank you. It's B like in boy, O, N like in Nancy, E, another B, E-R-G. And my first name is Joan, J-O-A-N.
That's great. So if they search Joan Boneberg, they'll be able to, it'll come right up for
Thank
them.
Thank you so much.
So can you hang around with us? And
Absolutely.
Okay.
Well, I appreciate that.
We're going to come back and talk to everybody in a little bit.
Thank you, Vanessa. I appreciate that.
Okay. So now we've got Myra McElhaney, our next guest. And Myra and I were first introduced many years ago through a mutual friend, Sally Jamira.
Yes.
And then we were in a mastermind group together for a while, which was really mm-hmm. fun, and we got to brainstorm lots of different yeah. things. And we've worked on several projects together, including two books that Myra has published this year. She has been a busy woman this year. The yeah. first one is Mama Always Says, which launched just in time for Mother's Day. And then her newest book is Hot Off the Presses. Okay, I'm going to laugh when I say this. Musings on Major and Minor Matters That May or May Not Matter by Myra McElhaney. So that always makes me laugh. Myra is a writer, speaker, and a corporate trainer, and her work also includes three anthology books as well as being featured in many publications. Welcome, Myra.
It's good to be here, Vanessa.
Glad to have you here today.
Thank you.
So you've done lots of writing over the years. I know you've got a great story that was a connection for some content for one of the things
right.
that you were writing. So I'd love to hear that
right.
story from you.
Several years ago, I was working on a book that has not yet been published, but I refer to it as The Book That Wrote Me, because after several years of research, this book changed my life in many ways. It was a book based on my interviews with women who had been the first woman to do various things. So I'm sitting in my basement office in Alpharetta, Georgia, minding my own business. I got an email from a woman at the U.S. Embassy in Norway. I had to get a map to see where Norway was. So how does someone at the U.S. Embassy in Norway know about me in Alpharetta, Georgia, in my basement?
Definitely a 6 degrees of separation there.
Absolutely. And it was through networking. Here in Atlanta, I was a member of a local women's organization, the Georgia Executive Women's Network. That organization was a member of an international women's network. And someone in the network I knew here in Atlanta had recommended to me that I send to the headquarters of TIAW, the International Alliance of Women, a blurb about my book. They had posted it in their newsletter, and I got a call or an email from the U.S. Embassy in Norway. And that led to my being able to interview Liz Arneson, who is the first woman, she's from Norway, and she is the first woman to ski solo to the South Pole.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. And so that's an example of how formal networking groups can work and can help you. It's a matter of spreading the word. And I just want to tell you, Vanessa, one of my pet peeves with networking is when people go to a networking group and they walk out and say, you know, they walk in saying, I'm going to hand out some business cards. And they walk out and say, well, there's no one there who could hire me. If there is one person in the room, there is a possibility for a connection. And so my guide to networking is wherever you are, be there and be aware. I have some stories we can I can share with you about how I've met some of the other folks I'm doing projects with that were very far from formal networking things. So you can network with any place you're there, that there's another human being there is
an opportunity. I think your point of be there and be aware is great. And like Joan said earlier, I think when you go into a networking situation saying, how can I help you and what is it that you need and what are you looking for, it makes folks so much more receptive to then reciprocating that for the things that you're, and you never
absolutely.
Know where those connections are going to lead.
That's absolutely.
And who's connected
know.
To who.
You that, never know.
I mean, Norway, that's a long way. That's a long way away.
It is.
But,
it is.
You know, I'd love to talk a little bit about I know you've actually gotten three books out this year because the anthology
yes.
book Climb came out at the end of 2010.
Right.
And then Mama Says came out in April of this year. And then Musings right. on Major and Minor Manners that may or may not matter.
By Myra McElhaney.
By Myra McElhaney. Is coming out this week. I mean, it's yes. actually launching this week. So can you tell us a little bit about what's the inspiration behind your writing?
Yes.
Pick maybe if you can talk about the Musings book since it's the newest one that's coming out.
Well, I'd love to talk about the Musings book. And that is another networking thing. Back many years ago, the Musings book is a book of poetry. And many years ago, I joined Toastmasters, which many of you may know about Toastmasters. I joined it in order to polish my speaking skills because I was doing corporate training at the time and thought that would be my business. And in Toastmasters is something else that changed my life. I met my husband, unfortunately my late husband now. But we met there, and a few months after we married, this old man came into Toastmasters. He was in his late 70s and joining a Toastmasters group. I'm like, what is he doing here? Well, he became, to us, an adopted father. He referred to himself as our token old man. And he and my husband connected because they both loved history. They both loved beer. And they could drink beer and talk about history. And he and I connected because not only had he been a geologist, a gentleman farmer, a college professor, but he also was a writer and he was a poet. So I had written a poem by some fluke, and I showed it to Russell, and he challenged me to poem du jour. So that meant that this, at the time, I think he was 76, 78-year-old man, on his computer would send me a poem every day. I had to reply with another poem. He also, later on, did a formal poetry class for a friend and me, where he would give us assignments and we would answer in poems. Actually, she would do the assignments. I would write poems about the fact that I had to do an assignment. But after, when you're doing poem du jour, you can come up with a lot of poems pretty quickly. And so I began writing poems that way. Then I found that when I was going through personally trying times, one being the illness and death of my husband, that I could put the pain on the page through writing poetry and writing stories. And so meeting Russell, the mentor who guided me in poetry, was a very informal networking way where we got to know each other as friends, which led to a book project. And I have dedicated the book to him, as you know, my poetry mentor, Russell Hood.
Well, and I love this book because it's so funny and it's so poignant and made me laugh and it made me cry. So, you know, you just have to be prepared for the whole gamut
right.
when you start reading it. But but really, you cover from chiggers to to
right.
you know, important days in your life and important holidays and talking and poems about the death when Phil died. So.
Right. When you have to write a poem of the day, you'll write about chiggers or the woodpecker outside the window or anything. And then I've written about my car when I got it, about motorcycle riding, just silly little poems. And then also I found that if I woke up at night with something really troubling me, poetry was a great place to go.
Well, and I think it's a great exercise, as everyone here that's written knows. You know, the more that you write, the better you get at it. So,
yes.
So I think that that's an awesome thing to use as an exercise, as to make yourself, give yourself something exciting to write about.
It is, and just one thing about poetry: don't assume that because I've written a poetry book, I'm a poet. Oscar Wilde said, "All bad poetry stems from genuine feeling," and there is genuine feeling in there, but it could be bad poetry.
But it's interesting poetry. So
another project that I'm working on now that came through networking in a very informal way is I went to the beach with a friend that I had known 20 years. Her sister and I had been best friends at one point in our life, and we went to the beach. Basically, I had nothing to do on Memorial Day weekend, and she said, "I'm going to the beach. Why don't you go with me?" And as we're sitting there, and I, as you can see, fair-skinned, don't spend much time on the beach, and she had it down to a science. She was such an expert, and I thought, this could be a book project. So as we're laying in the sun, I talked to her about turning her tips for beach being on the beach into a book. And so now we are working on something with the other two girls that were there called The Sun Sisters Guide to the Perfect Girlfriend's Beach Vacation. And it will start with a website and then eventually be a book.
So again, be there, be aware, and inspiration can come from just anywhere.
Absolutely.
That's awesome. So Mara, how do people get in touch with you and find out about you and buy your books? And
well, they can go to my website, which is MyraMcElhaney.com. They can also go to my new blog, which is Musings by Myra. And they can go to Amazon.com, or they can call me on the phone. And my phone number is 404-431-4690.
And why don't you spell McElhaney for the folks out there?
I'm very proud to spell that, because when I married Phil, I had to learn to spell that. Spelling's not my forte, and I married a guy named McElhaney. It's M-C, capital E-L-H-A-N-E-Y, Myra McElhaney.
And Myra is M-Y-R-A, so Myra, yes. McElhaney when they go to Amazon.
Yes. And just real quickly on a note, I recently was contacted. This is another networking story. I was recently contacted by Facebook, friended on Facebook by Myra McElhaney in Kentucky. So if
what
she's
the
out there listening.
What are the chances of that? Two Myra McElhaneys.
That's what we thought. So yeah. I accepted the friendship. So if she's out there, she may get some calls about my books.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Well, Myra, if you can hang out with us, we're going to talk to Walter, and then we're going to talk to everybody.
Love to. Thank you.
Okay. So our final guest today is Walter Lawrence. He writes under the name of T.W. Lawrence. Walt and I connected to each other because you attended a seminar that I gave in conjunction with BookLogic several years ago.
Right.
And I think you heard about it through another friend that we, a mutual friend that we have, Richard Kirby. I think maybe he passed that information along to you. But
yeah.
Then after we connected, I designed a book cover for a manual that you use in a class that you designed and teach around QuickBooks.
Yes.
That ties in.
Yeah, you designed the cover of the course manual.
The course manual, yeah. And so we've done several projects together now, and now you've got your first book that's coming out that's going to be launching at the Decatur Book Festival, Take Me to Texas.
Yes. It's an anthology of 12 short stories, three of which have won literary awards. And it was a project that sat on the shelf much too long. I had realized at some point, actually, Joan Bumberg and another lady from the Buckhead Club, Diane Bugino, invited me to an NSA, that's the National Speakers Association, session on publishing your own book. And I sat there listening to what they had to say and kicking myself to saying, after all the years of writing, you have nothing really to show for it. Went back, was pulling some stuff out of the computer and realized that I actually put it together as much as it had been, and I took it from there, and then, you know, got the ideas for the cover, got some editing done. It's now into layout, and it'll be out in September.
So that's exciting. So yeah. It's always interesting to me to meet people that have an unexpected side to them. And I know you're very much a numbers guy, you know, very with your accounting business and all of that, the classes that you teach with that and the clients that you work with that. But then you've got this whole creative side that comes out with your writing.
Well, my first wife, now deceased, was also a CPA. And she used to tell me to my face, she said, you know, you're not really a CPA. And I'd say, hell, I passed the same test that you did. She goes, that's not what I mean. She didn't realize that. But you don't have that natural aptitude for it. You don't like the detail that I do. You like the big picture. And the big picture and the strength of my professional career has been creating the entire system, so it played to my creative side.
So the book that you've got coming out is called Take Me to Texas, Lone Star Stories of Love and Other Adventures. So can you just tell us, and I know your heart is obviously in Texas, you're a Texas born boy and you happen to be transported here to Georgia, but your heart's in Texas. So can you describe a little bit of the type of stories people can find when they read this book?
Sure. It starts off with the most endearing story that I've ever written, and was also the very first formal short story that I did, of a young man's relationship with, he's 16, the girl that he has feelings for has just turned 21, and so they have this sort of romantic, non-romantic relationship. So it's you know, a sweet, almost love story. Then there are a couple of reminiscences of me growing up in Texas, and particularly with my family, my father, mother, and my sister. And then there are several stories that are more coming of age as a person, coincidentally, roughly my age at that time, went through some adventures. They're fiction for the most part, but they all have settings where they touch Texas in some way or another.
And I know you're going to be promoting your book in Texas in a few months as well.
Yes. Following the Decatur Book Festival, which will be the first occasion to bring the book out, there are three of us from the Atlanta Writers Club that are going to Austin at the end of September for the Texas Book Festival. We've rented a booth there that the Atlanta Writers Club have, and all three of us, since we have Texas-related material, are going to go and sell it there and see how it's received.
So I know that you're very involved in the Atlanta Writers Club. How has being connected with all those other writers been beneficial to you?
Belonging to the Atlanta Writers Club, they have been around for a long time. At one time, Margaret Mitchell was a member. They used to have to wear tuxedos, meet at the Piedmont Driving Club for dinner. That's not a requirement any longer. We meet sometimes at the...
Although I bet your cowboy boots would look good with a tuxedo.
I have a black pair as well. but the one thing that they do is they remind us that we belong to a community of writers. And that's important because writing is too often a solitary endeavor. And so we forget that there are other people who are going through the same pain and writer's block and all the other considerations. Another aspect of what they do is they bring in a ton of people with experience in different segments of the writing process. Short stories like I do, novelists, people who are doing publicity, how to get your books on Kindle, how to market, how to do all kinds of things, including doing blogs and doing podcasts. So it's a good gamut. And for meeting once a month, roughly every month of the year, they'll be at the Decatur Book Festival. They're always there. They do a very good job of promoting local people. But in terms of networking specifically for writing, the thing that has helped me the most is that I went to a program at Kennesaw State University. They have a graduate English degree there that's the MAPW, the Masters of Arts in Professional Writing. I was an English major as an undergraduate, got into accounting, came back as part of my midlife crisis, decided that I'd get a second master's degree, and attended that program. Oddly enough, there were 12 courses you had to take, so I said, oh, this is kind of like a 12-step program, which the faculty never thought was funny when I told them that joke. But they have a very powerful, what they call listserv. It's a distribution by email of all kinds of opportunities, and they're very good at promoting their students, former and current. And while I was there, I met two magazine editors that were in two different classes I had, and they were the first published for pay assignments that I had because of my association with them. And then once I was in print and started to develop a portfolio, it was easier for me to approach other publications and take it from there.
Well, and I know that you've written over 40 freelance articles for different publications, and you also have a novel that you've written, Texas Cool Million.
Yes, I'm trying to attract an agent so that I can then attract a publisher. If nothing happens with that, say in the next 5 years or so, I'll publish it myself.
Well, that's awesome. And how do our listeners get in touch with you and find out more about you and buy your book, Take Me to Texas?
The easiest way, there's two ways. One, the book is being published by Luckenbach Press, and they have a website where they describe the author and the books and that kind of thing. Luckenbach, like the town in Texas.
So you should probably spell that.
L-U-C-K-E-N BAC, Luckenbach.
And dot com, right?
Luckenbachpress.com, and that will get you there. Otherwise, we have an email site, which is takemetotexas@gmail, using the number 2. So it's takemetotexas@gmail.com.
That's great. And I know that people could also find you on Facebook. You've got a Facebook page both for Take Me to Texas and for Texas Cool Million.
Yes, if you get onto Facebook and search for Take Me to Texas or Texas Cool Million, my fan page will pop up.
And Walt actually has a very cool video on his Texas Cool Million site that's kind of a book trailer that talks about what the book's about, which I think is just a great idea.
Yes, and before Labor Day, I'll have an accompanying one for Take Me to Texas. It's going to be the narration of the questions you asked me, describing the anthology with pictures that I've taken from Texas. One of the things that I learned from you is there's a difference between using someone else's photograph, permission, licensing, that kind of thing, and using your own. So I've found that I have a wealth of pictures that I've taken there, and I'm actually spending another day when I'm in Texas doing nothing but taking pictures.
Oh, and now you can go specifically where you want and get exactly the kind of photos that you need to kind of tell that story.
Exactly.
That's awesome. So thank you for being with us. We're going to open up the mics now and kind of talk to everybody. And I do have a question for the group. I know that Myra's touched on this a little bit, but what advice would you give to someone who wants to tap into their network for writing, publishing, or promotion? So, Joan, you want to start?
I would say, again, be strategic about how you go about that. General networking is fine because also people have an interest. They say, wow, you wrote a book. That's great. Not many people do that. And my response to that is, it was just a passion. I needed to do that. It was just something for me. And now I want to share that with others. So, you know, in a general sense, like Myra was saying, you never know. It just takes one person with an interest who may have never thought about having an interest in your subject matter. Then the flip side to that is perhaps really thinking about the venue in which you need to be. I think it's twofold. My philosophy is if a door is open, step through it. What are they going to say? No. Right?
Exactly.
And so to me, it's about being open, and it's also about being flexible. That presents the opportunity.
That's great. So Myra, do you have any advice for folks about how they can tap into their connections?
Yes. One thing is to know what you want. What are you looking for? Are you looking for an agent? Are you looking for an editor? Are you looking for someone who can coach you to write? What is it you're looking for? And then let people know that. And anyone you talk to, let them know. For example, the agent that I worked with in New York, I met her through a local makeup artist. You never know where that connection will be.
You wouldn't have thought that would have been exactly where that came from.
Yeah, you never know.
You stepped through that door.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So know what you want. Let people know what you want.
I think knowing what you want is really a key thing because I think most people are very happy to help you if you can be very concise about what you're asking them to do and mm-hmm. what kind of connection you're asking them to do. So again, you know, figuring out your target market, figuring out what question you're trying to answer, what person you're trying to connect with is very key. So Walt, do you have any advice for folks?
One of the things that I found really made a difference as I am concentrating more on my writing is that in social situations and in business networking situations, I no longer tell people to start with that I'm a CPA because that began a conversation in a certain way. Now I tell people I'm a writer and they go, wow, you're a writer. I get two different reactions. One, they say, I've always wanted to write a book, which when I explain to them how much work it is, they kind of go, okay, maybe that's not what I want to do. But the other thing is, I've got this great story about, and then they will tell you the story. I firmly believe in terms of networking, being the fictive writer that I am, there's at least one good story in every person that you meet. And if you can get that story, whether it's the name of a character or a plot line or the buff this, you know, type of grain of an idea, you're that much better off.
Well, and I think that that's a great attitude to go into a networking event with is, what is the story that I'm going to find out from every person that I talk to tonight? I think that would really kind of set the tone for your interactions.
Joan works with business executives honing their elevator speeches, and she actually helped me with a version of mine that I do in my off Broadway situations, and that's I tell people when you know when they say what do? I say I'm a writer of fiction and a creative thinker. Pause. But then I use those skills to help my small business clients figure out their financial and operational problems. And so now they're hit with two facts. He's a writer and he's also doing this other stuff. And it begins a conversation. If I just said I was a CPA, preconceived notions keep you from taking the conversation further.
Well, and you were just mentioning to me that you're going to be speaking to a Rotary Club. Can you tell us the topic that you're going to talk about with them?
Well, yes, it's Myra and I were talking about the difference between what we should really call writers and what we do. They're slightly off color, but basically it's hard to walk in and say, hi, I've got an anthology, please buy my book and thank you for the free lunch and I'll be set up in the back. You have to give them something of value. And one of the things that I have found, also in conjunction with the NSA thing that I went to, they were saying to use a book as a means of getting speaking engagements and business. And that's to use the experience I had writing as a book as a metaphor for a type of planning and analysis that you can do in business, because there is discovery in writing. A story I was telling you about the teenager who was in love with the older girl, people always ask me, well, if you're the guy, if you're Travis, who was Polly? And I kept on saying, well, Polly's just made up. It's just, she's all the women I've ever known boiled down into my fantasy 20-year-old thing. And I was thinking about her as I was driving after somebody posed that question to me again not long ago. And the image popped up as I tried to remember what she looked like when I was writing her. The face of a girl I knew back in Texas pulled up and I went, son of a gun, there is a Polly. So, you know, a moment of self-discovery, eureka was there. And I'm developing a 20-minute, you know, after-lunch talk about the process of writing and how it can be used, you know, in small steps to help people clarify and think through problems they have in business.
Oh, I think that's awesome. And I love how everything that we experience works in our favor to help us make connections and to, you know, move things forward and that kind of thing. So we've got just a couple of minutes. Do any of you have questions for each other or any additional comments that you'd like to make before we close up?
I have just a comment about what you said about life experience. I believe life experience is research. As writers, it's all material. And there's a local writer, local author, Loretta Hannon. I love a quote from her. She says, bad decisions make good stories. And so when it comes to bad decisions making good stories, I'm doing lots of research.
That's great. That's awesome, Myra. So thank you all for coming here today. Appreciate having you on the show. We're getting ready to wrap up and appreciate all of you coming today. So the clock's on us. We welcome your comments and suggestions about content and our guests. If you would like to recommend a guest or would like to be a guest yourself on Right Here, Right Now, let us know. Send us an email, whwnbusinessradiox@gmail.com. Thank you, Alan, for being with us today and keeping us on track. And thank you to our guests, Joan Boneberg, Myra McElhaney, and Walter Lawrence, a.k.a. T.W. Lawrence. Joan, could you share your contact information again?
Sure. It's joan@speakingspecialist.com, and my number is 678-522-5955. And you can go to the Barnes & Noble site, and it's on Amazon and Kindle, and you should find it there.
Excellent.
Thank you.
And Myra, can you share your contact information with us?
Certainly. Myra McElhaney at mindspring.com. The number is 404-431-4690. You can just Google me and you'll find me, Myra McElhaney.
And they can also go to Musings by Myra.
Musingsbymyra.com. Yes.
So, and Walt, how about you? How do people get in touch with you?
My local number is 404-585-0023. And the easiest place to find me is on Facebook. Search for Take Me to Texas.
Excellent. And learn more about Right Here, Right Now. We're brought to you each week by Right Choice Services. You can learn more about the Right Choice Services at rightchoiceservices.com. The regular host of the show is Tim Morrison, who's the owner of Right Choice Services. I hope you'll join us next week and tell your friends about the show. In fact, send them an email and invite them to come listen live on Tuesdays at 10 o'clock, or they can download the show from our archives, and this show will actually be up probably tomorrow on the website. So listen to Right Here, Right Now live every Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. at righthererightnow.businessradiox.com, or download the MP3 version of all the shows, the interviews that we've had with different business professionals about their books. I'm the guest host, Vanessa Lowry. Join us next time when business leaders, entrepreneurs, and professionals come together to discuss the power of the pen and its impact on their business, right here, right now.